The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Statmiller, with you on this Monday, 11th day of December 2017. We have Ron McDonald with us today, and also Al Whitney's going to call in. She has a little bit more information here about her problems with the driver license in Ohio, so she'll give us an update on that. And something that I was not aware of is the DMVs, they're not part of the state government. No, they are private corporations hired under contract to do a service for the state. And apparently they're applying their own internal policies irrespective of law, which is rather fascinating. What did Donald Trump kind of intimate last week, very quietly? It was like a tiny little pebble dropped in a, you know, a pond, and it makes a little ripple, and then it just disappears. This guy wants to go full-blown privatizing the CIA. Wow. So we're going to have hired mercenaries, killers and destabilizers of entire countries that they want privatized. Yeah, right. Before I bring Ron on, I want to set this up. And Ron has recently rewatched this. You might have heard of this, or you might have even seen it yourself. There was a little incident that happened out in Arizona, Mesa, Arizona, on January 18th of last year. So less than a year here this happened. And this kid, and he was a kid, he was shot dead in a hotel by their local special weapons and tactics team member. Sounds so good, doesn't it? Team member. Well, the point of this is to, now you're not going to be able to watch the video. You can go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, watch it for yourself. It is under video shows Arizona man sobbing, begging for his life before fatal police shooting. My point here is listen to what the man does. Now, to set this up properly, Mesa received a phone call that somebody was waving a gun outside of a hotel window. Well, as it turns out, this kid had his girlfriend, and I don't know if it was the girlfriend of the day or of the night, or it was a significant other, or it was just, wasn't missed right, but just missed right now. At any rate, they were in the hotel room, enjoying a few shots. He decided to show his pellet guns to his then-girlfriend. The guy was an exterminator, and his pellet guns were for shooting rodents. Well, this wasn't serving of a warrant on a murderer or whatever the case may be. This was the initial response by the Mesa Police Department, their SWAT team, to encounter this guy coming out of his hotel room with his girlfriend. Now, I want you to pay particular attention to how this officer conducts himself. This might be something if you're in the middle of Baghdad or Afghanistan in a war footing or a setting that a U.S. troop would run across somebody that wasn't quite sure if he was the enemy, had an IED on him, whatever the case. Perceived threats in wartime footing is a little bit more lax, let's say, than serving warrants or doing investigations, okay? Keep that in mind. This is a full-blown military guy, even though he's just wearing SWAT police uniform with his automatic M16. This is the encounter. And I'll tell you what happened to this guy, or more importantly, what didn't happen to the police officer. Mike?
Stop right there! Lay it down on the ground!
Lay it down on the ground! Who else is in the room? Nobody. Since apparently we have a failure for you to comprehend simple instructions, I'm going to go over some of them again, okay? Can you both hear an understanding?
Yes.
All right. If you make a mistake, another mistake, there's a very severe possibility you're both going to get shot. Do you understand that?
Yes.
I do.
Yes.
All right. Shut up. I'm not here to be tactful or diplomatic with you. You listen, you obey. For one thing, did I tell you to move, young man? Did I tell you to put both your hands on the top of your head and interlace your fingers? Take your feet and cross your left foot over your right foot. If you move, we're going to consider that a threat, and we are going to deal with it, and you may not survive it. Do you understand me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, young man, listen to my instructions and do not make a mistake. You are to keep your legs crossed. Do you understand me?
Yes, sir.
You are to put both of your hands palms down, straight out in front of you. Push yourself up to a kneeling position. I said, keep your legs crossed!
Sorry.
I didn't say this in conversation. Put your hair! Hands up in the air! You do that again, we're shooting you. Do you understand?
Do not shoot me.
Listen to my instructions.
I'm trying to just do what you...
Don't talk! Listen! Hands straight up in the air. Do not put your hands down for any reason. You think you're going to fall, you better fall on your face. Your hands go back in the small of your back or down. We are going to shoot you. Do you understand me?
Yes, sir.
Crawl towards me. Crawl towards me!
Yes, sir.
Don't go!
Ron?
Yes. I'm stunned hearing it the second time and seeing it the first time. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. But why don't you tell them the results?
Well, the results is Daniel Shaver is not going to enjoy a shot of rum or playing around with the toys of his employment, or he's not going to be dating anybody from here on out because Mr. Shaver did not survive 5 223 rounds pumped into him in the hallway of a hotel. He's dead. He's gone. Now, you watched that video, did you not?
Yes, I did.
Here's during that 5-minute exchange. Did you see them attempt to cuff this guy?
They didn't even check him out to see if he had any weapons on him.
They just assumed. And the last action that he took was crawling down that hallway on all fours. And I think his drawers were coming down, and he reached to his side.
Yeah.
Kind of sounds like a Lavoie Finicum deal, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But he reached, and it looked like he was trying to keep his pants from coming down. And they just loaded up and killed him.
And he had been drinking, so
yeah.
He wasn't totally alert.
He wasn't totally alert, but I didn't see anything in this video that he was not following their orders. Now, folks, we've been trying to explain to people, and I lost cop friends that were, well, they were paying attention to us, and they'd stop by RBN. And when I brought up the subject of their new toys, that being taser guns, to bring a suspect into line, and I said, gentlemen, this is not going to work out well because you guys are being told that safety first, regardless of whatever, if you get somebody that's non-compliant, they'll just taser the living hell out of you. We had it on video down here in Texas where they tasered, I think, a 75-year-old woman because Mr. Fat Gut Cop didn't want to deal with the situation other than tasering a 75-year-old and watching her flop around the ground like a fish out of water. But see, we've gone from electrocution now to execution. And the mindset that is behind this, folks, the reason I played that video too, so you could listen to this cop barking his orders, he didn't control anything. You're taught as a cop to control the situation, minimize the threats, do your duty, write up your report, make your arrest, whatever the case may be, job done. Okay, you're on the road again, or you're on to the next call. Ron, we keep saying this. Oh, by the way, let me not forget to let the people know. After the officer involved was acquitted of second-degree murder charges, officials in Arizona released the graphic video showing Daniel Shaver crawling on his hands and knees and begging for his life in the moments before he was shot and killed by police January 2016. Shaver died in one of the at least 963 fatal police shootings in 2016 alone, according to the Washington Post database. After his death was one of the increasing number of such shootings to prompt criminal charges in the years since 2014, and we'll throw in Ferguson, Missouri, following the death of Michael Brown. And you all know what I said about that. You know, here was a guy that was not paying attention, and a cop had given him a lawful order only after the guy tried to take his firearm from him. You're taught in police academy, there's two things you don't want to lose: your life or your weapon when you're on duty. When Mr. Michael Brown was given a directive by the police officer to stop, he did not. He kept coming at the officer. I think the mistake that the cop did was actually killing Brown. I'm a good enough shot with a 9mm or a 45, I would have taken his kneecaps off. And if he wanted to go anywhere, he could do it. I'd call him Stubby. He could stub on over to me, but I wouldn't have killed him. But the point here is, these are militarized police on the streets of America, and we've got the fox guarding the hen house. In other words, who's watching the watchers? They are. The police union itself said, well, I don't even know why this came up. Really? Did you see the video? The only reason they wouldn't understand why charges were filed is because they're of the same mindset. They saw nothing wrong with what this cop did, this Michael Slager. Or I'm sorry, let me not misidentify this guy, Philip Mitchell Brailsford.
Now, can I ask you a question, John? In your opinion, was this man, Daniel Shaver, was he subdued at the moment that the guns were on him?
What do you mean, was he subdued?
Was he in? Were they in control of him?
They were in total control of him. He was flat face down on the carpet.
Yeah.
His hands were behind his back. No weapons visible. At that point in time, there were three officers on the scene. One holds their sights on him. The other cop goes up, puts the cuffs on him. That's the way this thing should have went down. It shouldn't have never gone down the way it did. This kid did not come down out of his hotel room with any firearms, no visible threat, nothing.
Yeah.
And you heard it right from the start. They just started shouting orders, and he complied every step of the way. And he was even blubbering. His last, God, His last act on this earth was begging for his life. Now, Ron, if I was in that hotel and I witnessed this going down,
and you had a weapon,
I would have stopped that cop right in his tracks. I would have told him, yeah, cease and desist, put your firearm on the floor. We're calling your superiors down here. There's not going to be anybody that dies here today. And if they would have turned their weapons on me, I would have shot him right on the spot. No questions. It's better to be judged by six than carried by six. This is the kind of crap that keeps going on. Day after day after day after day in this country. It's no more Mr. Policing and cop walks, you know, through the neighborhoods with his partner and trying to, you know, bring the police and the communities closer together. No, we're just an all-out, uniform, swatted-up execution squad. And by Jiminy, you had better obey. And if there's a little bit of confusion, shame on you, because you're dead.
I still don't understand why he shot him. Any reasonable person looking at this young man lying prone on with face down on the carpet, even though he turns a little bit to his right, would not have taken that shot.
It shouldn't have come to that point. They had him on the ground. His hands were visible. That's when you walk up to the suspect, you cuff him, and at which point in time? Now, you got cover fire. You got a guy standing there with an automatic, an M16. Your partner should go up to him, cuff him. At that point in time, if he makes any false moves and you start to see a weapon, now you can suppose there is a weapon, that there were no weapons on this kid. But the assumption is that maybe he does have a weapon, any quick moves, well, I'm going to take a closer look at that. If I see, seeing a firearm versus one seeing one pointed at you is a little different, I grant you that. But there was nothing indicating this kid was aggressive, that he meant anybody any harm. And they covered for him. They covered for these cops. Police union said, well, I don't even know why charges were filed. We don't see anything wrong here. Really? You know, let me ask you, and this is a rhetorical question because I'm not going to get anybody to answer the question. At what point in time do you expect that the citizenry of this country, after making all their inquiries, after suing you, after going to court, begging and pleading for changes to be made in their policies, at what point in time are you going to regret the citizenry taking direct action to you? How about you're driving through any town USA and you end up back at your station if you survived it with 50 holes in your frickin' car? At what point in time, when the citizenry is so afraid of you, you that are charged to serve and protect, what happens when the citizenry turns on that thin blue line? Now, we have a tendency to do groupings or groupthink, and, you know, I've said it before and I'll say it again. Not all cops are the mindset. There are cops that spend their entire careers, 20, 30 years, that have spent that time and retired from a police force without ever having to draw a weapon. Now that's standard practice. Now they're being told that you're under constant threat. Your number one duty is not to the job and the citizens that you're charged to protect. Your number one job is saving your skin to make sure you get home to mama and eat dinner. And they have taken that to the extreme. They have taken that to the point that any scenario that might even suggest a hint of danger for the police officer, protect yourself. Shoot first, gather the facts later. I'm telling you, I'm glad I wasn't in that hotel. Because I either would have been dead or in jail. If they can't bring a guy in for wrongful death, do you think I'd be out of jail because I protected another citizen? Or I murdered a cop. Think about it.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear-thinking consensus or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today. Where the magic's from, what you gonna do when things go wrong? What you gonna do when it all backs up? What you gonna do when your love burns down? What you gonna do when the flames go up? Who's gonna come and turn the tides? What's it gonna take to make a dream survive? Now, canary in the coal mine situation. I could imagine one day that I'd be run up by the cops. Because I'm anti-government in my statements on air, or I'm inciting people to riot or commit violence. I can see that day coming very quickly in this country.
Well, you know, the ignorant will take this video, look at it, and group, as you said earlier, all of them together. And it might be an all-out war against the police because of it.
Well, and at that point in time, you're going to see the grand plan unfolded right in front of your very eyes. Do you think these fusion centers melding the police and the military was just for the exchange of some information? There was a little thing called posse comitatus. You never enlist the military to do policing matters. So what is their recourse? They take the police and they militarize them and still call it civilian.
Yeah.
It is not. It is not. And one of these days, folks, you know, you'll probably read it in the newspapers or hear it splashed across the satellite news feeds that an owner of a right-wing radio network was dead when he encountered the police. I can see that possible scenario into the future.
It appears to be getting there, doesn't it?
It's not just getting there. It's there.
Yeah. It's there, yeah.
It's there.
I'd agree.
Frank in North Carolina. Hello, Frank.
Hey, John. I just wanted to make a couple comments. My opinion is I definitely agree with you. I've long thought about this. I think when you put on that badge, you make a decision to become a cop, you go through all the training, and they put you out on the street, you basically accepted a risk that the regular, citizen, the regular person, non-cop, you've gone above and beyond that, and you've accepted a risk. I've always thought that was total BS, that your number one job is to make sure that you go home at the end of the day. I don't buy that. Your number one job is to do your damn job.
Well,
and you can't go around, making it personal, and because some kid, some teenager, sounds like an 18-year-old recruit at boot camp, can't figure out exactly what you want him to do, and he's under a lot of stress, and you're going to, you're right. I mean, you could see this maybe, if this guy's over in the Middle East somewhere and he's doing house to house, and, they're expecting, an attack or something like that, or maybe the guy's got some a vest on with explosive in it or something like that. But the other thing is, you really got to think twice before you call the police. You dial 911, nowadays, you've got to know you may be starting a chain of events that's going to get an innocent person killed or possibly even get yourself killed.
There are many examples of this. A couple of weeks ago, I posted a story about the new tactic with the cops. It's called knock and talk. No matter if it's in the middle of the night, one example was there was a stolen motorcycle that the cops saw in an apartment complex, and it was parked in the vicinity of a set of apartments, and they decided to go do their knock and talk. And they're banging on everybody's door in the middle of the damn night. And one individual didn't even know who the hell it was. They weren't identifying themselves as being the police, just banging on a door. He and his girlfriend were up in the middle of the night, and they were playing video games. He got a little concerned and a little scared, and he answered the door with a firearm in his hand, not pointing it at officers. When he opened the door, there were officers already pointing guns, and they killed him right on the spot. By the way, he was not a criminal, had no criminal record, and he sure as hell didn't steal a motorcycle. These are the tactics of investigation now. If you look the wrong way, you make the wrong move that they don't seem to like. This self-preservation mode kicks in, and they kill first and gather the facts later.
It's like you have to assume, these cops assume that everybody's a terrorist now. Everybody's a potential threat, a potential terrorist.
This is how they're being trained.
That's just really going overboard.
This is how they're being trained. Everybody is a threat. You are in imminent danger 24/7 because you, as you rightly pointed out, you took an oath, you put a badge on. You've got to accept the risks that come with that. Another example, the carefully policy-driven, say, a football game. Two teams have 60 minutes to put the most points on a board, okay? But both sides are judged by the very same criteria. And you battle it out for an hour. Let the best team win. Okay, great. Well, in this scenario, the rules are different. The rules have been changed. You're on one team, you're called a private citizen. The other team is armed cops that are constantly being scared to death. They are being told that everybody is a potential threat. Yeah, Frank, you've heard me say this a dozen times on the air, that the FBI went to every chief of police, every county sheriff, with their little memorandum understanding of whatever, and told them that we got about 300,000 sovereign citizens in this country that much rather, on a standard pullover, would much rather put a bullet in your head than have a conversation with you. Do you think that amps the sphincter's factor up just a little bit?
You don't want to accept the risk. Don't be a cop.
There you go.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guaranteed. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included, American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down, and, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
By the way, this cop is a former Mesa police officer. But I guarantee you he was hired by somebody else. Francis in North Carolina. Hello, Francis.
Hello, fellas.
Hi.
A quick thought in general is that, one, nothing's going to be done with this officer, this fella, because it's all one major brotherhood, as it were. And even the officers that are decent, I tend to be questionable about that, because if they were and they knew the guidelines are and all that, and yet they're going to keep this person protected, I'm sorry. That's just shaming the whole aspect of law enforcement, for that matter, by protecting this person, no matter where they go. I mean, their work is based on the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and so forth.
Oh, no. No, that's an assumption that has been proved wrong.
Well, okay. Yeah. I'll give you that, especially this day and time. If it was before 2000, that's another story, if not before that. However, my question would be one of several things. I'm wondering if this fellow was on drugs of some sort, because he sounded like he was totally out of his gourd. to begin with. And two, obviously the girlfriend was still alive, or at least at that time, supposedly still alive, that she is taking legal action if she is lucky to do so. I'm sorry, is that, or she was murdered shortly after that? Because obviously the fellow that she was with was obviously executed, which was absolutely, just hearing it, let alone seeing it, is enough to stun your system. And so I'm just floored, and that just tends to give me more reason this day and time, regardless of what state you're in or city you're in, is that I tend to, whenever I see an officer, I look at them, examine them with close observation visually to see where they're coming from, and keep myself in opposite direction.
You and a bunch of other people, there have been people that just driving their car, any town, any time, USA, they see the red light, they get lit up, they see the red and blue lights come on, they will not stop. And many of them drive right to the police station. And they
that's a good idea.
Well,
but if anything, I would tend to make sure my emergency lights are on, so that way those blue and red lights that are flashing in a sequence code, for that matter, frequency-wise.
Well, I would go one better. I'd be on the phone to the police department on the 911 or the 911 call. Let me not confuse that.
Well, there you go.
I would be calling into police station saying who I was and who I have in tow, and I'll see you at the police station here in a few minutes.
That's even better, for that matter.
Well, here's the problem. The problem is we would have to take such measures because we cannot trust these people to not shoot us. Now, remember what I said, Francis. When you have the FBI sending statements of memorandum out to police chiefs and sheriff's department across this country, telling them that there is a group of sovereign citizens neighboring somewhere in 300,000 member range, as if this is some kind of jihadist group bent on just killing cops. This is the fear that is being pumped into the cops. Then they're given new policy directives as to what they can do and what they can't do. I don't want to think for a second that this police officer is a madman dressed in a cop's uniform. These cops operate on policy. They're told what they can do and what they can't do. The way they're being trained is the problem.
I would tend to call that side of warfare.
Well, and you know, I'm not letting this guy go. He is the one that accepted, like Frank said. You know, there's a certain risk when you pin on that badge. You know, it doesn't necessarily make you a bullet magnet, but there are inherent risk in a police officer's job. You'd better be damn better at assessing risk before you pull a trigger. Because you are not the judge, jury, and executioner.
Well, that's just it. They're doing a very poor job of assessing the situation when they actually come upon it, before they ever do any action of their own, for that matter. So, there was one train of thought I had for you that I totally left me in the process, but suffice to say, I'd have to agree with the assessment about driving and making a call as well. With your own emergency lights on and so forth, let the vehicle behind you know that, okay, this is where I'm going. You're going to have to follow me.
No, you're not going to be talking to the cop because you don't have his cell number, the guy that's following you. You're calling.
No, not that one. I'm talking about the one that is at the police department that you just mentioned about, the 911.
Yeah.
For that matter. The emergency flashing lights is for the vehicle in back of you with their flashing red and blue lights. To let them know that you are aware that they're behind you and that there's an issue. So, anyway, in suspicion. One quick thought for you. That might explain why I don't have that many police vehicles pulling me over. Of course, I don't really give them much of a reason to do so, because I do happen to have one sticker on the back of the vehicle. It just simply says, one nation under surveillance. In other words, leave me alone, back off, and we'll be fine.
Well, I can remember a couple of years ago when Ron Paul was running for the President of the United States, that a Ron Paul bumper sticker on your car, a political sticker, was indication to the Missouri State Police, remember this one? That gave them the excuse or the reason to pull you over and check you out because of a bumper sticker.
Then that's wrong.
No kidding. Everything that's is turning wrong. Out wrong. And nothing and nobody is being held account. Nobody.
Well, eventually it's going to, well, I'm not going to say it's going to eventually hit them in return, but that's a whole other ball of wax.
Yeah.
But still, the sound of the video and all that is stunning, even though it was a year later. And that makes me more leery, regardless of what city or state you're in.
Well,
y'all have a great one.
Thank you. And, Ron, look what's happening.
Yeah.
Look what's happening at the national level right now. The FBI just caught red-handed pulling out a political action. And nobody being held account. And who's doing the investigation on the feds? The feds themselves that have proven themselves to be untrustworthy and to be liars. It's come out that the FBI basically told Hillary Clinton, go ahead and destroy those servers. The destruction of evidence in an ongoing investigation. The FBI told her, go ahead, destroy your servers.
Incredible, huh?
Well, and what just happened here involving the Pentagon, there was a 2,500-page report that was supposed to be protected. Oh, well, it just got destroyed, and we don't have any other copies. Sorry. Oh, and by the way, the disk that was uploaded in the computer, somehow that got destroyed as well. They are covering evidence. They are covering it up. We are asking the fox that's guarding the hen house to somehow be not a fox. Wow.
It's totally unbelievable. We've seen evidence of this type of scenario over the decades of this country, and including making the sheriff the coroner. You know, he has the ability to kill someone, and he also has the ability to examine them and tell you how he died or she died. So we have that, and it seems to be acceptable as we go along. I think the thing that the American people are just in a quizzy over is that they don't know what to do. What do we do about this?
Well, they're hoping that you don't do anything about it, and you just shut up and follow orders. And they are going to become more aggressive. They're going to find reasons to become more aggressive and hostile toward the citizens. That's where this is going. I think without any stretching of any imagination, this is where this is going.
Well, you can't write your representative because they're just as bad as the people that are perpetrating these crimes.
As I said, the fox guarding the hen house.
Yes. The only thing I see as a possible remedy for this is for groups of people to get together and start lobbying the laws in to control these types of situations. Otherwise, what else do we have? We do have the ability to create laws. But are there people willing to do that? Are they willing to say, hey, I'll take the time out for my life to make sure that this never happens again?
I'll give you an example. I pulled this from Blacklisted News. And this is the CIA mistakenly destroying copies of a 6,700-page U.S. torture report.
Jeez.
Remember the general, or I'm sorry, they busted it down to colonel that was sent over to Abu Ghraib by General Sanchez to go and see what the deal was about all this torturing rumor stuff that was happening in Abu Ghraib, which we later found out that it was much worse than previously described. Well, do you remember the general? She was on this network for over a year. And she was the one that was held responsible for going over there, doing an honest assessment, and reporting to her superior, General Sanchez. What that got her was broken in rank, damn near thrown out of the military, for reporting what she had actually discovered. So, out of all this stuff, the CIA now has this, and the Inspector General's office said it mistakenly destroyed its only copy of a comprehensive Senate torture report, despite lawyers for the Justice Department assuring a federal judge that copies of the documents were being preserved. The erasure of the document by spy agency's internal watchdog was deemed an inadvertent foul-up by the Inspector General. One intelligence community source told Yahoo News that ran this story, which first reported the development last summer, the CIA Inspector General officials deleted that uploaded computer file with the report and then accidentally destroyed the disk that contained the document. This...
Well, what about Bin Laden falling out of a helicopter over the ocean?
Oh, no, he didn't fall out of a helicopter. He was thrown off the off shipboard.
Oh, so
yeah,
what it was?
Yeah, they buried him at sea.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Al Whitney is going to call into the program. She's got some updates on her little saga with the state of Ohio. I have another caller here, Mike. Steve Elkins. Hello, Steve Elkins.
Hi there, John, Ron. I'm very disturbed by that video. I just watched it and listened to the audio, and I'm sending it over to my wife to watch. I think she'll be just as shocked as she was with that nurse in the ER.
Did you see a cop or did you see a soldier in that hallway?
I saw a soldier. That was a militarized soldier. That was like one of those returning Iraq vets coming back and who can't turn off the killer instinct switch. That was uncalled for, unnecessary. That hurts to see that and watch that video. That hurts to watch that. But this is, I think this is going, I think this is the actual training they're actually learning now at the academy. I think this is what they're teaching them.
It's exactly what they're teaching them. That's why we're going to have more instances of this. They are bending any procedures. And Ron, this knock and talk stuff, I don't care who's pounding on your door, who they claim they are, a badge, a distraught neighbor, an angry ex-boyfriend or girlfriend, I don't give a damn who it is. You have the right to not or to open up your own door, your choice. Well, not to these cops anymore. This is throwing the whole jurisprudence thing right in the old crapper. Is what they're doing.
Yeah, I'm going to give Ron some credit for something he said a while back, and I totally agree. And Ron, you'll probably remember this conversation you and I had. You mentioned that we have to have moxie, just like the snowflakes have the moxie to stand up and do something. I didn't hear anybody, picketing or any kind of demonstration on this situation, this young man being executed. I did not hear one thing about it. Until you guys play the video.
Well, and I had played the video before, but it was over a year ago. And what we didn't have at that time, Steve, was the court decision. Well, now we see the court decision. It's not even voluntary manslaughter. There was no, this officer was cited. There were no wrongs committed.
Well, you guys pointed out some very good things that, yes, he could have, if they felt they needed to, they could have used a stun gun or taser on him, and or they could have just gone in and they quickly, you know, handcuffed him and assessed the situation. These officers, this officer here was trained to escalate, not de-escalate and diffuse a situation. He was taught to escalate, show brute force. He was in control.
Now, Steve, let me ask you a question here. You don't drink and drive, do you?
Nope.
Okay, but you and your wife traveled from California, stayed in a bunch of hotels, probably went out to dinner, or if you stayed in a hotel that had a in-house diner or whatever, or had a bar or whatever, you have a few drinks, you go back up to your room. You and your wife come out of that room, and you're faced with some guy with an automatic weapon shoved in your face. Imagine that scenario. Completely by surprise, and this kid had the moxie to immediately throw up his hands. As soon as he rounded that corner, saw that cop with a rifle pointed at him, he put his hands in the air.
Yeah. This officer, just his speech alone,
oh,
you can tell he was erratic and he was out of control. I mean, this guy, He was like one of those guys beating down doors in Iraq and Afghanistan, my God. This guy was out of control.
And this was the whole
He's
point.
He definitely should be off the streets.
I want to point out that John gave the best knee-jerk reaction there is to a stander-by watching this, and that is to defend the victim in this.
Right.
You know, which, at all cost.
Which could very well mean you don't pay your hotel bill because they're going to be carrying you out on a cart in a body bag to be toe-tagged at the mortuary.
Well, I agree also with what Frank called in from North Carolina. You call the police, they mistakenly think you're the perpetrator, and you walk out to confront, say, the guy's over there, and they think you're the guy and shoot and kill you. That's happened a couple times.
Yeah.
And how many times have they gone into the wrong house and killed somebody and said, oh, it was the next door house?
Look, there's no difference between shooting dogs now, Steve, and shooting human beings. Same thing, same requirements. I'm here to protect myself. If I perceive a threat, I'll kill your dog as well as anybody else.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Yeah, bring her. Mike, I didn't know you had my mic open. No, that's why I give you the thumbs up. No, when you put the thumbs up, that doesn't mean you open up the pot. When I put my thumb up, that means open up the pot. At any rate, I've got Al Whitney with us. Hello, Al.
Hi, John.
I want to take care of a few phone calls for the subject matter that I just covered. Were you listening to the show?
Yeah, I was.
Okay, did you actually hear the video I played?
Is that the guy who was shot by the cops in Arizona?
That's the one.
Yeah, I saw it.
Okay. Let me take some calls here. Pam in Michigan. Hello, Pam.
For taking my call.
Yes.
Oh, there you are.
Boy, this just really hit me, and I'll tell you why. I work at a school, and my daughter just informed me that an 11-year-old girl at the school was handcuffed from her house and thrown into a cruiser. I'm outraged. I'm just outraged.
Well, I mean,
and I'm considering contacting the police station. They're doing an investigation. You know.
I'm outraged. Pam, the only reason that you ever handcuff a suspect, be it an 11-year-old or a 91-year-old, is supposedly for your protection. Now, what they're really saying is, yeah, it's for your protection to try to minimize you with taking any aggressive action toward a police officer. It literally is for their protection, which by extension is protecting you so they don't have to kill you.
Well, you know, my big question is, who is training the cops?
Yep.
And I think we all know the answer to that one. We're turning into Palestine.
You're here.
Yeah. I agree.
Yep.
All right.
Okay.
Pam, I appreciate your call.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
And this is the sediment. I mean, we didn't alter anything. This was actually a camera that the cop himself was wearing. We didn't alter anything. We didn't edit anything. This is the way this went down. And this is the mentality of routine calls to your police department. Now, you might get Uncle Bucky that's never drawn his weapon in his life, or you might be met by a SWAT team member like this individual in the hallway of the hotel you're staying in. You don't know. Now, if that's not adding a little bit of angst to this scenario, I don't know what is. And who is training them? This is policy across the board throughout the United States. Who is watching the watchers? The government. That's who. Keith Rogers. Hello, Keith.
I think you failed to mention Stockholm Syndrome, John. You there?
Oh, no, I'm supposed to love the guy that's got an M16 jammed in my face?
No. You have the captors that are actually demanding that their jailers increase their bar size. I mean, this is the same thing with the border, that everyone wants a wall, which Israeli contractors are getting the contracts to do. From 9/11 forward, the Israeli firms that are getting all the security contracts and have had the security tracks at airports, now they want to do Las Vegas. The training listed from the ADL website, where they brag openly about taking U.S. law enforcement over to Israel to wine and dine them and then down to Palestine to show them terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
They return home with that same mindset.
Yeah.
The CRA training website down in Las Vegas openly admits they train all U.S. law enforcement, military, security, and FBI.
Yep.
Stockholm Syndrome.
Well, the Stockholm Syndrome that most people understand, Keith, is that you begin, if you are held captive, that you actually start to side with your captors. That's how I understand the Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah, well, that's right. And that's why with Trump's latest announcement about moving the embassy to Jerusalem, this country's love of Israel, which has caused more damage for this country than anything else.
Hey, hang on a second. I got a top of the hour break. Hang on, Keith. And Betty, I'll take your call, and then we'll get on to Al.
I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you, so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network.
Because you can handle the truth.